wonderful. It's a beautiful song. Amen. Thank the Lord for you being here today. And we did reschedule the Senior Citizen Sunday. Glad all our senior citizens here. Looks like some of the young folks didn't make it, but all the senior citizens did. Because y'all are tougher than they are. Say amen. Amen. School got started last week, and so all the moms and dads will give out. Amen. And but I'm glad that you're here, and we have a good crowd. Thank you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. And we will reschedule our Senior Citizen Sunday. We love just honoring our senior citizens and have a good lunch for you. We'll do that a little bit later. But I thank you for being here today. And Miss Trudy is back in the service this morning, and she did have a heart attack. But you keep her in your prayers. And they're taking care of everything with medication. Thank the Lord for that. No heart damage. And so you remember her in prayer and keep her in your prayers. Also, Miss Rhonda came in, and we've been praying for her, and she's right here. And we're glad that Miss Rhonda's back in the service this morning. And I want you to pray this morning for some folk. Brother Johnny Benson is going to have surgery. We've been praying for him in regard to cancer. And on the 12th, he's going to have lung surgery in regard to the cancer. So please pray for Brother Johnny and Sandra. Ask God's blessing on them. And then Brother Sammy reminded me we need to pray for our good friends out in Wyoming, Brother Leroy Jones, Brother Tommy Miller, if you will. Remember them in prayer. Ask God's blessing on them. Continue to pray for Jason and for the need there. God knows exactly what it is, and let's pray for him and Candace and all the family. Ask God's blessing on them, and pray continually for Tracy. Keep her in your prayers. And I saw Brother Tom, but pray for Miss Glenda, as she's had the cataract surgery. Ask God's blessing on her. And then Regina's sick this morning. She started Friday night and with a heavy congestion and cough again. So you pray for her in that regard. And then Brother Linwood called early this morning. He's preaching homecoming over at Blackman's Grove. You pray for Brother Linwood. His voice sounded good and strong to me. And then Brother Tim and several of folk are out in the ball field ministry this morning. And you pray for them that God would bless there. Open your Bible, please, to the book of 1 John. 1 John. And you said, Brother Billy, aren't you through with that yet? No. And when I get through with it, I'll not be through with it. It's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. It has so many facets and so many truths. And we'll stay with it until we feel like God wants us to move on. But I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Amen. Thank the Lord for you being here again in the service. And welcome again to all our friends in the internet audience and all the media outreach. We thank you for being a part of the services. We are consistently having now somewhere close to 50 who join us every Sunday. And we thank the Lord for that, for those in distant areas. And continue to remember to pray for several of our regular viewers. And especially pray for Emerald and Janie this morning. Ask God's blessing on them. And then Tim McClendon called, and we want to keep his mom or his dad in prayer. Ask God's blessing on that family as well. All right. Now, 1 John, I'm going to read two little passages of scripture. We're going to have a word of prayer. In 1 John, look first of all in chapter number 1. And in Brad praying this morning, God spoke to him and spoke to me, because he is emphasizing exactly what God had me to preach on this morning. I thank the Lord for that confirmation. In 1 John chapter 1, look at verse number 5. This then is the message which we've heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now look over to chapter number 2. And look at verse number 10, chapter 2 and verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. I want us to pray together, and as we're praying this morning, you remember all these I asked you to pray for. And I didn't mention Brother Randy. I want you to pray for Brother Randy Perry and Miss Mary. They went home yesterday. Now, we don't know what he's going to be able to do. Hadn't got a response back from him. If he's going to feel like he could come next Sunday. But if he doesn't, we want to still have the meeting. And I have some things in my heart. And so we'll start next Sunday morning and go through next Wednesday night. Start next Sunday the 15th. And if Randy's here, we'll rejoice. And if he's not, we're going to rejoice. And God's got a perfect plan for us. So I feel like we need those few days together. We're getting ready for Judgment House and so many things in the fall. And I just sense the need that we need to have a meeting where we can all be together and seek God in prayer for revival. So let's just pray that God's perfect will be done in that regard. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for letting me be here. Our Father, I want to thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you for his shed blood that we have victory. And they overcame the wicked one, Satan himself, with the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And our Father, I bow before you this morning and thank you, God, for the good days we've had, the good days we've known, for the presence of God in these services. Thank you for the choir. Lord, what a wonderful truth. Thank God for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Miss Cindy. And God, we ask your blessing to her family. And God, I thank you so much for the senior saints here in this church, those who are grandparents and those who are not blessed to have grandchildren. But God, I thank you for them. Thank you for the great heritage in this church of good and godly women. And God, I want to thank you for the next generation that's coming up behind, that God, these young adults who are very active in the ministry and church and doing so many things for you. God, we pray your blessing on them and all the young people and all the children. Now, God, I pray you'd help me, God, this morning. Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would speak to us. What a joy to walk in the light. What a joy to be in the light of your presence. And Lord, what an awful, awful thing to be in darkness. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now would help us. God, speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you probably lost power during the storm. And we were blessed, especially in this area. I don't think we had any major damage and all like that other than power outages. But that's bad enough. And when they first began to forecast the storm coming, I really began to pray. I didn't pray for God to take care of my house. I didn't pray for God to take care of my sheds. I didn't pray for God to take care of my cars. I prayed that God would bless all of you. But God would let us keep power. At my house, if we get a heavy dew, we lose power. I mean, it'd just go out. In fact, as soon as they announced it on the television, I think somebody throws a switch at our house. I don't know why. We always lose power. Last time, we were about 2 weeks without power with the storm. And we had all of our family there. And of course, we'd already heard about the evacuation at Carolina Beach, and Becky and her family came up, and the children who live up in this area and the grandchildren, they all stayed at their places. But they came up with us on Wednesday and stayed till Friday evening, Friday night. And but I prayed. I prayed even when I was at Brother Tom's and camp meeting. Lord, don't let us lose power. God, don't let us lose power. I tell you, when it first goes off and you light candles, woohoo, it's fun, isn't it? My son, in about 3 days, it ain't fun no more. I mean, the fun's gone when you're in darkness and you got to have a candle to go down the hall or whatever. And if you don't have enough batteries, being in the dark is no fun. Here in this passage of scripture, he talks about being in darkness. And he's talking about saints being in darkness. Now, what an awful thing to think about saints being in darkness. He said, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What about this idea of darkness? Darkness is a foreboding word. It genders fear. Many people have a natural fear of the dark. Some people may like to sit and look at the stars, but if there were no stars, it'd be a dark night. If there were no moon, it'd be a dark night. And darkness in the Bible always points to that of judgment and sin and darkness. And matter of fact, I want to preach to you for just a few minutes this morning on the danger of darkness. He said of the believers, he said, if they say they walk in fellowship with him, and yet they walk in darkness, they lie and do not the truth. The other passage said this, if somebody's walking in darkness, they have an occasion to stumble. Beyond that, they can't see. They know not the way they go. What is the danger of darkness? As I begin to study this, like so many things, as God helped me to look at some things and do some research. Well, I found out there's no end to this darkness business. Get your concordance and look up the word darkness. You could preach 6 months or longer on the word darkness in the Bible because it's full of it. There's light and dark. The Bible said that when we got saved, God translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son in the light. My dear friend, there's a kingdom of darkness in this world. The Bible says we don't wrestle against principalities and all, but the rulers of darkness. That's a darkness. Our four-year-old, five-year-old kids, grandkids now, have got fascinated with Star Wars. And Hunter, particularly, he is a question machine. He asks questions about everything. And he asks the same question sometime over and over again. And he wanted to know, and some of you could tell me, why did Luke's daddy go to the dark side? Why did he become Darth Vader? He wanted to know why. I've never even thought about it. I just figured he's a bad guy. But why did he do that? He wasn't always on the dark side. Why did he choose darkness rather than light? Why do men choose darkness rather than light? It's an interesting question, isn't it? When you think about darkness and think about the possibility that people in this building who are not in fellowship with God, who say they're saved and are saved perhaps, that they are walking in darkness. That doesn't mean you're blinded and you can't see physically, but it means that you're in darkness in spiritual realm. And the fact, when you understand what darkness really is, it is even more awesome thing to think about darkness. As I begin to study and look up to understand the meaning of darkness, the Bible says that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. To be in the light is to be in fellowship with Him, but to be in darkness is to be alienated from Him, separated from Him, to be led by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. It is a place of disobedience, of discouragement, of defilement, of disappointment and danger. It's an awful place to be in that situation. And quite simply, what it means is this: darkness is nothing else other than the absence of light. The absence of light. You take away the light and darkness takes over when the light's not there. And it's possible for a believer to walk in darkness. Through the Bible, darkness is mentioned in several different ways. Hold your place there, but turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. In this particular passage of Scripture, darkness is used to describe the state of an unsaved man, a woman, a boy, a girl. When you were lost, you were like this. Notice what it said in Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light, of the light. Then look over at verse number 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It is a picture of lostness. It is a picture of somebody who's lost. There was a blind man sitting there one day when Jesus walked by, and Bartimaeus cried out and said, Lord, have mercy on me. And God opened his eyes. He lived in darkness. Another story of a man in the Bible who had been blind, and he gave this testimony, whereas I was blind, now I could see. But my dear friend, living in darkness all those years until they met Christ. And you and I who were lost, we're living in darkness until we met the Lord Jesus Christ. We were blinded to the things of God, blinded to the joy of the Lord, blinded to the consequence of sin. But then God had mercy and He saved us. And so when you look at darkness, it pictures the absence of light. It pictures a lost man, unregenerated man. And when you as a believer, I as a believer, are said to be walking in darkness, it means we're following the dictate of that old man. We're following the dictate of that old flesh, that old nature. And then in the Bible, it speaks of sin. Sin is described as darkness. Hell is described as a dark place. And then the grave is a dark place. And afflictions are sometimes described as darkness. But then darkness is also a picture of spiritual desertion. That is that we have left God or we've got away from God. But it also means that God may have withdrawn himself and hid his face from us. Do you remember when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt and God sent judgment on them? Darkness is a type of judgment. And God sent darkness in the whole land of Egypt. It was a sign of God's judgment on them. And my dear friend, that causes me to shudder just a little bit as a Christian. Because if I get out of fellowship with God, does that mean I'm under the judgment of God? The Bible said he chastens us. And so also we find in the Bible that just as when the sun is darkened or it goes out of our sight or it is obstructed by something, darkness invades. So it is that when we get out of fellowship with God, that afflictions may come, calamities may come, heartache may come because they are all part of darkness. And God is dealing with us as children of light. And he's bringing us back. There's a story in the Bible of a man who sent a message once and again to another man to come and speak to him, and he wouldn't come. And so that man sent his servants to burn the barley fields of that man. That got his attention. And he came running to the man who requested him to come talk with him. And I believe with all my heart, as Mays Jackson used to preach, God will set your barley fields on fire. You get out of the will of God, you start walking in darkness, God may set your barley fields on fire. It may be your physical health. It might be the health of some of your family members. It may be your job. It may be any part of your life. But if you don't listen, God, those of us who may slip away from him and get spiritual desertion and begin to walk in darkness, he'll chasten us and bring us so very close to us. My dear friend, oh, listen, what an awful thing to be in darkness. Darkness is a very uncomfortable place. I like to come over here and pray. And when I come over here at night to pray by myself, I don't cut the lights on. I'll come in and I'll cut the hall light on and I'll coat it. But now that I'm getting a little older, I leave that door open because I like that little bit of light. I come in here one time and I thought I'd walk back down to the back to do something. And I thought I could see. I'd come in, been in here a few minutes and my eyes hadn't quite adjusted. I turn around and kind of remember where the pews were. But if you remember, there's a short pew right here and the next one's longer. So I kind of felt my way and I felt that pew. I forgot that one was shorter. I walked into the oven like I broke my neck in a prayer meeting and ran into that pew right there because darkness is an uncomfortable place. It doesn't seem like anything is, you know, you try to envision where things were, but you're just not comfortable. It's ill at ease. You don't ever feel quite as relaxed in darkness. You get all tense on the inside and you begin to maybe even be fearful. Darkness is a bad place to be. Oh, darkness. Oh, listen, when a man is in darkness, notice what it says in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, listen, Jesus is telling them about darkness. In John chapter 12, listen to John chapter 12, look at verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. My dear friend, you don't understand your direction. You lose sense of the awareness of things around you in darkness. You can't really focus and see what's going on. It is an awful place to be in a place of darkness. I have heard people say they're going through a great trauma in their life. Maybe they have great sickness or their husband or wife or child or somebody is very sick or they've gone through a hard time with rebellious children or death has invaded their home or they're going through just a bad mental state and they are in a state of depression. And they say to me, Brother Billy, I'm just in a dark place. Many of you could say you've been in a dark place before. You can't explain it sometimes. You can't put your finger on it. You don't know why, but you're in a dark place. I want to read to you from the book of Psalms, number 88. Psalms 88, the book of Psalms, we think about singing and rejoicing. But listen to this, O God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life drawn nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me, and hast made me an abomination to them. I am shut up and cannot go forth. Mine eyes mourn by reason of the affliction, O Lord. I have called daily unto thee, and I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, and thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, in the morning shall my prayer be prevent thee. Lord, why castest off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I'm afflicted and ready to die from my youth. While I suffer these terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like waters. They compassed me about together. Lovers and friends thou hast put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Well, that's a dark place. Oh, listen, the psalmist there was in a dark place. And he said, I'm in a dark place. If you read on, you'll find the reason. Because of his rebellion and sin, God let him go into a place of darkness. Oh, can you imagine, what kind of life do you think about Jonah and that whale? He disobeyed God. God said, go here, and he wanted to go back over to somewhere else. And on that ship, they cast him overboard, and the whale swallowed him. He was in a place of darkness for 3 days and three nights. What an awful place to be. My dear friend, you get out of the will of God. I went to visit a man one time. I was pastoring down in Florida. He'd got out of church, Brother Stokes. I don't know what happened to him. He got a little bitter about something. I don't know what it was. But he got out of church, and I went and talked with him, and I prayed with him, and I prayed an unusual prayer, and I talked to him. It surprised me what I said to him. And I said, listen, Brother Stokes. He said, preacher, I'm in a dark place. I know it's because I hadn't got back to church. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, God may leave you there until you run back to the house of God. When old Jonah came out of that belly of that whale, the Bible said he spit him up on the shore and he went, took off running to where God had sent him to go. My dear friend, listen, God may keep you in that place until you're willing to do what Job said. He said, salvation is of the Lord. I look to him. My dear friend, if you're in a dark place today, is it because you're out of fellowship with God? Is it because he's hid his face from you? Is it because you're the one who's got out of line with him? Oh, listen, I want you to know this. There's degrees of darkness in the Bible. Degrees of darkness in the Bible. When you go through there, you'll find he talks about gross darkness. He talks about black darkness. He talks about different kind. When he says about in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. A shadow is a type of darkness. It is darkness, but it's not as severe as the darkness in hell. It's not the same. There are degrees of darkness. But the thing about it is this, in the evening when it starts getting dark and it's twilight and then it's dusty dark, we say, and then it's dark, and they say the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Darkness graduates. It intensifies. And here's the danger of you getting out of the will of God. Here's the danger of you getting out of church. Here's the danger of you just stop coming on Wednesday night and Sunday night. You quit reading your Bible. You quit praying. Darkness grows. It gets darker and darker and darker. No telling where you'll end up. He said, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship. But if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, listen, there are degrees of darkness in this world. And there are times when it's just so dark you don't know what to do and where to go. Here, quickly, I got three little points about this darkness. The danger of darkness. Number one, there is the danger that you cannot perceive the path. He said He knows not where He's going. When you get in darkness as a believer, your future, every move, every step, every decision is darkened by darkness. Here's the way, walk ye in it. He said one passage of scripture. He said, thy word is a light unto my path. But when you're in darkness, you don't know which way to go. If you get in darkness, you'll probably marry the wrong person. If you get in darkness, you'll make the wrong business deal. If you get in darkness, you'll make the wrong career choice. If you get in darkness, you'll make the wrong moral choice in your life. People who walk in darkness do things that affect them for the rest of their life, even when the light comes back on. It affects them for the rest of their life. My dear friend, when you get in darkness, it's an awful place to be, and it's a place where you don't know the path. I remind you what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 35. He said, he that walks in darkness, he can't see the way that he would go. If you want direction in your life, you stay close to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. He'll show you which way to go. He'll show you the right decision to make. But I'm telling you, if you get in darkness, every little decision in your life is tainted by darkness. I mean, from the time you get up, every decision you make, you'll make it without the guidance of the Holy Ghost. You need to walk in light as He's in the light. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You need to walk in Him. Second thing, not only if you get in darkness can you not perceive the pathway, but if you get in darkness, you cannot see the perils ahead. I hate to tell y'all this. Y'all already know I'm surprised I'm alive. So many things I've done that was stupid. I remember years ago, we were down in Florida, and we drove out in the pasture, and it was full of rabbits. I mean, just full of rabbits. And a bunch of young guys, young men, we were going to, get some of the rabbits. And actually, we were going to shoot them, and I'm going to tell you the truth. But they were running every which way. And for some strange reason, I got out of the pickup truck. And when the light came across, I saw one. And as soon as the light hit me, it took off running. Well, I took off running. Well, then the fellow driving the truck turned the light the other way. And I was running behind the rabbit, And all of a sudden, I just went off a cliff. It was a big gully washed out there. It's probably deepest from here to there, not terribly deep. Man, I nosedived down in that thing. You know why? Because the light had left me. And I was running in darkness. And then when you're running in darkness, you don't see the perils. You don't see the dangers. You'll get yourself in a mess. If you're not walking in the light, if you're not in fellowship with Jesus, nothing between my soul and the Savior, my dear friend, listen, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. There are things out there, that traps that's been set for you and problems that you can face that you won't face if you'll walk with Him. If you'll go with Him, you'll go through some tough times as a Christian, but He'll never leave you nor forsake you if you'll stay close to Him, walk with Him, fellowship with Him. And then not only do you cannot perceive the path, not only can you not see the perils that are out there, but you cannot see the predator that awaits. He talked about the rulers of darkness of this world. There is a dark world. There is a dark side. There are demons, and they're real, and they're all around you. Matter of fact, old Brother Avery Rogers said he never, ever would sit in the back of a church. And I said, why? He said, too many demons between me and the preacher. He said, they come to church every Sunday. They're around here. They'll make you hear something I didn't say. And they'll rob you of something I did say. He talked about sowing that good seed. And the birds came and picked that seed up. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, that is the devil. And he'll come and snatch the word away from you. Steal the seed away from you. Oh, listen, this whole row ought to be full next Sunday down front. You can't see the predators out there. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And do you know who he targets? Those who drift into darkness. Those who get out of step with the Lord. Those who get out of fellowship with him. I'm telling you, easy, pray for him. He'll slip up on you. Those predators hunt at night. I had a fellow tell me one time about owls. I don't know if you've ever been in the woods at night or anywhere around where there's an owl flying. You can hear a buzzard fly. You can hear a buzzard flap his wing. Hear a turkey flap his wing. You'll never hear an owl's wings flap. God made them to where they fly silently. And he said he had a bunch of chickens and they roosted up in the trees. He said, I had a bunch more, but the owls got them. I said, how in the world they get them out of those trees? He said, it's easy. He said, they get up there to roost, that owl will come in, he'll get on the perch right beside them. And he'll start moving like this. And he'll push that little banty rooster off that limb, and when he starts to plummet to the ground, the owl will catch him before he gets to the ground. Because he can see in the dark. And you don't ever know the devil, you get out one step out of the fellowship with God, the devil will get right beside you. And just waiting for a chance to push you off of that limb. Watch. Watch and remember. He said this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to just tear you up. Jesus said of Peter, Satan wants to take you and sift you like wheat. Don't you think if he's after them, he's after you? And if you walk in darkness, you cannot know the predators that's around you. All the things out here in the dark. It's a dangerous place to be. Now you say, Brother Billy, that's kind of a tough message for Sunday morning. You need to hear it. You're in a real world. Spirit of Antichrist, and that's in this book, I'm going to deal with that. It's in the world right now. They cannot see what you see. Because if you get in darkness, you can't see. You can't see things clearly. That's one of the dangers. But I hasten to be through. There's never been such a darkness, never been such a darkness that the light, the true light, cannot dispel every bit of that darkness. Dark's a bad place. Brother Levon, if you'll help me, we're fixing to go. Brother Levon's going to cut the lights out. We not have a power failure. Dark, dark, dark. If it were not for these side doors and the light behind me, it'd be extremely dark in here. But I can't see much further than the third row here. I can't tell anybody's features from here. Darkness is a bad place to be. But you know how long it takes for this darkness to be dispelled? 1, 2, 3. It's gone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Just that quick. And for God's people, he made this promise. If my people which call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I'll heal their land. Just that quick. God will purge you, cleanse you, restore you. You grow in the Lord from there. You stay faithful to the Word of God. Stay faithful to the house of God. Live for God. I'm trying to tell you, my dear friend, some people talk about the relationship to Christ and the church in such a casual way. They come if they want to come. They don't come if they don't want to come. And they find out after a while that the less they come, the more they don't come. And you're living in a very dangerous place of darkness. Darkness. over the years as a pastor, I've preached a lot of funerals for people who got in a dark place and never got out. Not relating in names or anything else. I talked with a friend, Regina and I did the other day, about a horrible situation of a man and a woman who both loved God, served God, were used of God, but they got out in darkness. They both began to walk out of fellowship, and their paths crossed. They began to have an ongoing affair, and it got so bad, and so many things happened, that they committed suicide together. They'd gotten such a dark place. It devastated everybody who knew them, because they knew them as God's people. People loved God and walked in life. But they'd gotten such a dark place. And when you get in dark places, you don't know what the devil will do to you. God loves you. He don't want you to be in darkness. If this morning, if you're not right with God in any area of your life, just as LaVon cut the lights right back on, you can get right with Him. Let's stand together. Never been a darkness so dark that His light would not dispel that darkness. He'll set you free from every yoke and every bondage this morning. He'll give you everlasting life this morning. He'll cleanse you as a saint. He said if you confess your sins, He's faithful, just forgiving, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you can walk with Him in fellowship. That's what revival is all about. I'm telling you, when the light comes on, light comes on in your heart, it comes on in your face, and there's a radiance of God shining out of you. Oh, listen, we ought to walk in the light as He's in the light. Oh, what a sweet place to be in light. Oh, listen, I love sunrises. Oh, it's a beautiful time. I mean, the world's fresh and new every morning. The birds are singing and the air's beautiful, and it just seems like such. And as you sit in a place, maybe the early morning air's a little cool, and you see that sun rise and you feel the radiated heat of that sun almost immediately. It's a wonderful thing to be in the light. I encourage you right now, if there's any little spot of darkness in you, it will not stay little. It will grow. It will intensify. I don't want in these last days for my love to grow cold. I want to be close to Him. Please, please, this morning, if you're out of fellowship with Him in any area, I want you to get around this old altar and just ask God to purge your mind and heart. Maybe you're here this morning, as far as you know, there's not anything between your soul and Savior. I want you to pray for everybody else and pray for revival. I'm telling you, when the presence of God moves in the life of a church, it means He's moved into the life of the believers. I mean, a church that's on fire, or people that's on fire. Church revived is people revived. And we need that. We need the real. We need the power of God. I'd encourage you, implore you this morning, gather around this old altar and let's pray for revival. Pray that God will move in our hearts and life. Pray for me and my family. Pray that God will move. If you're here and you're lost this morning, God will save you. If you'll slip around this old altar, there'll be somebody who will be glad to pray with you. If I can help you, I'll help you. But right now, if you'll just come right here, get around this old altar, and you call out to Him, whosoever, you can ask Him. He'll save you right now. Will you join these here around the altar? Heavenly Father, I pray right now the Holy Ghost of God to move. God, we don't want to be in darkness. We want to be in light. Our Father, we love the light. We love to be in the light. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil, but God, we love the light because we want to live right. God, thank You that You can shine the light of Your Holy Ghost on us. You can cleanse us and not a thing between our soul and the Savior. God bless now these many around the altar and others who are coming. God, I pray there's a lost person here this morning that this will be the morning they step out by faith and trust Christ. And we'll thank You. While Brother Brad sings just a verse or two of this song, I invite you to come right now. If God speaks to your heart, thank You. Join these many around the altar right now. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Brother Brad's going to sing. God bless you, my brother, as you sing. Hallelujah. You're here this morning. You need to be saved. We sure would love to pray with you.